Reading is taken from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Tim. Good morning. So just in case, let's turn that one off. Just in case there's anyone who doesn't know me, my name, as Jenny said, is John, and I'm not the vicar. Andy is having a well-deserved post-Easter break. So although I am a part of the ministry team here, Andy is the vicar. Let's just pray and ask God to speak to us. Lord, we want to say thank you for your great love and faithfulness. We thank you for raising Jesus from the dead. We pray this morning that our ears may be opened to hear his voice, our eyes to see his glory, and our hearts to follow his word, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as Jenny said, we all mess up. But I wonder how you feel when that happens. When your work isn't up to standard, or when you have a moral lapse, or when a relationship hits the rocks, or when you let your friends down. I think some of us are crushed when that happens. We feel ashamed. We want to go and hide from the world. And we think that God could never, ever possibly use us again. But others perhaps try to brazen it out. They don't admit that they've done anything wrong. They become defensive if anybody mentions it. They get angry if they're challenged. And they look for somebody else to blame. Well, I don't know which category you come into, or whether perhaps you're a mixture of both. But Jesus comes to both of those groups, and his heart is full of mercy and grace. He helps us to face our failures, and he offers to forgive and restore us. And that's what we learned from this morning's passage. So let's try and imagine that scene. The disciples are sitting on the beach. They've just enjoyed a breakfast picnic. And best of all, Jesus is with them. And then he turns to Peter. And first of all, Jesus invites Peter to reaffirm his love. "Do you love me more than these?" he says. To understand that, we need to go back a few days. Jesus told his disciples he was going to leave them. And Peter promised he would follow Jesus wherever he went. "Lord," he said, "why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." But of course, when it came to it, he didn't. Three times he was asked if he knew Jesus, and three times he denied it. And no doubt that failure preyed on Peter's mind. Luke says, he went outside and wept bitterly. He felt a deep sense of guilt and shame. And I suspect that we all have moments like that, don't we? The if-only moments. If only I could go back. If only I could do things differently. And so Jesus questions Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he repeats that question three times. Three questions to recall three denials. Jesus doesn't avoid the elephant in the room. He isn't seeking to shame Peter, but to restore him. But he can only do that as Peter faces up to his past. Sin has to be dealt with first. Those feelings of guilt have to be taken away. Only then can we enjoy again our relationship with the Lord. Now, there's a debate about what Jesus means when he talks about loving him more than these. Some think it's the fishing trade. Do you love me more than you love your fishing nets, your fishing boat? Do you love me more than you love your old way of life? But it probably means the other disciples. Peter had said, even if all fall away, I will not. He claimed that he loved Jesus more than the other disciples loved him. And then he fell. So Jesus asks him, do you love me more than these? Inviting him to reaffirm his love for Christ. And three times Peter gives the same answer. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know my heart. You know everything there is to know about me. And Jesus knows our hearts too. Jesus asks us this morning, do you love me more than you love your job? Do you love me more than you love your family? Do you love me more than you love yourself? And that's a hard question. But it's an important question. Because without love for Jesus, nothing else matters. We can attend church regularly. We can read the Bible daily. We can pray fervently. We can give generously. We can have perfect theology. But without love for Jesus, it's nothing. That's why Jesus complains in Revelation about the church in Ephesus. And he says they've forsaken their first love for him. Wilson Carlyle was the founder of the church army. And he once said, for me, Christianity is a love affair with Jesus. And that's right. There is no substitute for loving Jesus. So what answer will you give him? Lord, you know everything. Firstly, Jesus invites Peter to reaffirm his love. But then secondly, Jesus recommissions Peter to his work. Three times he questions Peter. Three times Peter declares his love for Jesus. And three times Jesus gives Peter a job to do. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. How does Peter know that he's been forgiven? Because Jesus gives him work to do. Someone has said, you ask what forgiveness means. It is the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced him. When Jesus first called Peter, he called him to be a fisherman. From now on, he said, you will catch people. And it's a lovely picture of Christian evangelism, declaring the good news of God, displaying the character of God, helping people to come to faith in Christ. But now he calls Peter to be a shepherd. And that's an equally lovely picture of Christian leadership. The work of the leader is to care for the people of God, to seek the lost, to restore those who have strayed, to support those who are hurt by the slings and arrows of life, to encourage those who are weak and tempted. And Peter had the best possible model for that. It's the commission that Jesus gives to his church. Jesus calls us, each of us, to continue his ministry. He is the good shepherd, the one who leads and feeds his people, who guides and protects, who knows his own. But he does that today through us, his church. We're all called to care. That's what it means to belong to the church. Not in order to earn forgiveness, but because we have been forgiven. And I wonder, therefore, whether Jesus is calling us afresh to work for him this morning. Who is he calling us to serve? What work is he giving us to do? Perhaps it's somebody who doesn't know Jesus, and we can pray for them. We can ask him for opportunities to share the good news with them. We can look for ways in which to serve them. Or perhaps we can join the pastoral care team and support another church member. Or train for the prayer team in order to pray with people after the services. Or we can offer to lead a home group study. Or perhaps we could offer to be church warden next year. You may feel that you failed him in the past, and you may feel that he couldn't possibly love you. He can't possibly use you. You had your chance and you blew it. But God is the God of the second chance, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the 106th. And with Jesus, failure need never be final. And so thirdly, Jesus calls Peter to follow him, whatever the cost. Jesus tells Peter to follow me. And he repeats that call in verse 22. For Peter, that meant doing what Jesus wanted. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And he's talking about Peter's death. And the day will come when Peter won't deny Jesus and he won't be found wanting. In church history, the legend at least says Peter was crucified upside down in Rome because of his faith in Christ. I remember reading about John Bradford. Bradford was burned at the stake on the 1st of July 1555. And his only crime was that he preached the gospel. Despite numerous opportunities, he refused to relent. And he was martyred at Smithfield in London. And next to him was John Leaf. Leaf was illiterate and not yet 20. But he resisted the arguments of the Bishop of London. And together they were chained to the stake. Be of good cheer, brother, said Bradford, for we shall have a merry supper with the Lord tonight. And like Peter, it was the martyrdom of a passionate lover, the one who loves life dearly, but who's willing to give up everything out of love for Christ. And there are many today in the world who pay that price for Jesus. Christians who are persecuted for their faith. And Jesus calls us to follow him. He calls us to follow him to death and beyond. Yes, we may die peacefully in our beds, but we live as followers of Christ. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. To quote Alexander Solzhenitsyn, only one life is allotted us, one small, short life. And the question is, how will we spend it? So Jesus knows all about Peter. Peter may have been surprised by his denial, but Jesus wasn't. He said it would happen. And Jesus knows all about us. We may be surprised when we let him down. We thought we were better than that. We thought that we got over that sin. But Jesus isn't surprised. He knows us through and through. And yet, he still loves us. He still wants to be our friend. He still wants to spend time with us. And he still wants to use us. So what must we do if we have failed Jesus? How can we respond to his love? Firstly, we must face our past like Peter. Someone has said, until there is remembering, there can be no forgiveness. To remember means to put back together something that has been broken and disconnected. To truly remember requires that we turn back to past actions and relationships and recognize our own place in what happened. Only then can reconciliation be offered and received. And forgiveness becomes complete only as we face up to our past failures. But then secondly, we must fall in love with Jesus all over again. Like Peter, we're invited to reaffirm our love for Christ, because it's only love for Jesus that will keep us going. We have to spend time in his presence. We have to gaze upon his mercy and compassion. We have to look upon the beauty of God and let that love melt our hearts. And thirdly, we answer Jesus' call to serve. We prove our love for Jesus by the way that we love others. And yes, that may be costly. And it may mean that we have to deny our own desires. But like Peter, we are called to follow Jesus right to the end. Let's pray. And let's spend a moment as we respond to whatever Jesus is saying to us this morning. Let's allow him to remind us of past failures that haven't been confessed in order that he might forgive us. Let's allow him to recommission us to his service, asking him to show us what he wants us to do. And let's recommit ourselves to follow him, whatever that may cost. Lord, we thank you for your amazing love. And we confess again that we have all messed up. But we thank you for your mercy and compassion. We thank you that with you there is abundant forgiveness and that you delight to restore us. And we pray, Lord, that you will do that this morning, that we may serve you, abounding in your love. We pray it for your name's sake. Amen.